All right, welcome to episode 85 of the At Bat Podcast, presented by Warren Media, where we give you our thoughts on the latest Chicago baseball news, as well as take a trip around the league. I am Saul Rodriguez, along with my co-host, Miles Porter. It's been a while, Miles. It's been a minute, but you know what? A lot of things have happened. Spring training has started. Cody Bellinger is back as a Cub. You know, so many guys have signed, whether this is and that, like so many stories. And we'll get into as much as we can in the short amount of period of time. But how, most importantly, Miles, how are you doing, man?
Hey, doing good, man. They got me busy over there at Northwestern, so I'm a little tired this episode, but we are getting through it. My season is underway, and it is around the corner for the heavy hitters now. And I just look forward to it, bro. It's that time of year. Body's in shape in the gym and just swinging, ready to go.
Well, yeah, no, I appreciate it as always, Miles, coming on and doing this. Of course, like, you know, looking at it now, episode 85, 50 more to get to 100. So that's crazy in itself. But to ask you more about that, actually, is it still Milwaukee? Is it still a Milwaukee team? Is it just going to be Milwaukee heavy hitters then?
Yeah, we're the Milwaukee heavy hitters. And I love it. And now we're in the Wisconsin State League, which is a semi-professional league. And it's awesome, man. Playing in front of those crowds and the competitive baseball, I love it. That's great.
Hell yeah! No, we can't wait. Miles Hot Corner is back, and you know what? We'll definitely get to talk about Hot Corner stuff, because, you know, of course, as a lot of things have happened, you know, Christopher Morel is playing a lot of third base. Want to get your thoughts on that. As well as a little bit of the White Sox as well. And, you know, talk about a little bit about the rest of the league, which, you know, has to do with Montgomery, Snell. Those guys are still out there, where they could go. And then, of course, some of the bigger news that has actually come out, the Red Sox with Lucas Giolito's out for the season. That's unfortunate, and what they will do now to kind of replenish that. And we'll see what happens. But we'll start with the Cubs side of things. Miles, what first we'll start with the Bellinger thing, because obviously we missed that. But what were your thoughts when that happened? Of course, that story hit extra late on like a Saturday night. What were your thoughts when it happened? And is one of those things where, like, it was, you know, you weren't that surprised. You kind of were just relieved. Cause I think that's kind of where I stand, is like, I wasn't even like, oh, you know, no way that happened. No, it was more of like, finally, like, you could just, I don't care about the opt-outs. I don't care about that, cause it's a 3-year deal with multiple opt-outs. Like, with the way the Cubs are going in, like the direction they're going in, like, that's fine with me, because there's so many, you know, they have so much depth at the moment. So how do you feel about the deal and the way it's shaping out?
I love it, and I think even, like, based on the deal, I'm curious if Belly had a conversation with Boris in terms of just like, hey man, spring training's underway. I got to get out there. I need to get back on my boys. I need to get this going. And so, it's cool, you know. If he has a good year and it feels like he deserves more, then he can opt out and try to get more. And if it's like a year that, you know, he feels like he can improve upon, then we have him around. But his money's guaranteed, which is awesome. And so I just, you know, I think it is very good that we got Belly, and I think the lineup is deep now, and I feel like we're complete. And so now we just go out there and kind of just, you know, put our money where our mouth is, and it's go time from there. Some people saw the Cardinals above the Cubs winning the division. Move, man. And so I'm excited. I'm very excited for the season. It's such a big sigh of relief, as I was up every night or checking my phone every morning up until that time just to see if Belly finally signed with the Cubs. But it finally happened. I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, man. I know. I was, yeah, that's the same reaction I had. I think, yeah, I mean, with the Cardinals thing, and I think we might have mentioned that here, but I just don't understand that part of like them being in first. And the thing, I'm not also, let me just say also that I'm not particularly picking the Cubs to win the division just because, like, the division's weak or anything. No, because the division actually is way stronger than a lot of people think. The Pirates, they got O'Neal Cruz back this year. They still have Brian Hayes. Paul Skeens, of course, going to come up eventually. I know he's going to start off in minor leagues. But the Reds, people are sleeping on. We know better than anybody that the Reds are, you know, with Elly De La Cruz, you know, with Ashcraft, like, all these guys coming up, like, you know, they have what it takes to actually, in my opinion, win the division. Will they do it? That's obviously going to play out, and we'll see what happens. And, you know, also, with less games against the Central, you know, obviously ever since last year, it's going to be interesting how it shapes out. And I mean, we saw how hard it is when you have to play other teams that aren't the Central teams in September with the Cubs last year, right? I mean, the Diamondbacks, the Braves, the Rockies, all in the last couple of weeks of the season. Yeah. So yeah, yeah, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see how it shapes out. But I think as much as you can argue the Cubs can win the division, yes, they can, and you know, I'm optimistic about it. But I think that people don't see the bigger picture with the Cardinals because their pitching staff, you know, they added Sonny Gray, they added Kyle Gibson. That's fine, you know, but that's, you know, and we'll talk about it more when we'll preview the NL Central, because that's something I feel like, you know, we're going to need our panel for this one, because I mean, it's going to be interesting to see where people go with this, like for our, for example, our guy Gabe. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens unfolds with that. But another thing too is, as other fans are saying too, is that a lot of people still think that because of this deal and the way it was shaped, you know, the way, you know, it was put together by Boris and Bellinger, you know, 3 years, $80 million with two opt-outs, and, you know, and we're sitting here in March and, you know, Montgomery's not signed. Snell's not signed. Chapman actually just signed with the Giants for a shorter contract as well, similar to the Bellinger one, with opt-outs. Do you think the Cubs are still out there looking for someone else to add like that? Because even in that press conference that Jed had with Boris, they joked around about, you know, are they going to have another one of these or whatever, right? And they kind of looked at each other and whatever. So people were like talking about, hey, maybe they're going to add Montgomery, whatever. Do you think there's a possibility, or are you kind of just like, whatever, we're going to roll with the guys we got now and not going to get your hopes up?
Kind of in the middle. I feel like we are – I think Jed – knows, and the front office knows, that we are a very solid team and a very healthy organization at the moment. And at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if we did bring on like a Jordan Montgomery, even though in part of me feels like a lot of that rotation is kind of set at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously there's some questions with Wicks. So I think that there is definitely, there's always going to be room to add some sort of pitching depth. And I think it's just, you know, it's a matter of how good they feel about some of these guys at this point in spring training, and if they feel like it's worth adding another arm.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I'm right with you with, like, the fact that, or how Jed probably is thinking about it. And I think we've talked about it plenty of times, of seeing how, like, they're not forcing anything, which is actually a good thing. And, you know, they're being smart. And I think even Jed has talked about it, you know, very honestly about how, you know, the contracts they're looking for, it's better to look for a good deal than like overpay and then, you know, whatever. So yeah, they're definitely being smart. The Shota Imanaga deal was a deal that was surprisingly less on the money side. So regardless, we always know Jed works in silence. That's the best thing he does, knows how to do, is work in silence. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if they get Montgomery, but I'm also like, I'm okay if we go into the season with the team we got, because as you mentioned, the rotation options, we actually have way more rotation options, I think, that people give us credit for. Because you look at the, you know, obviously the locks, you know, the locks in there, Justin Steele, Hendricks, Imanaga, you know, Tyon, obviously that fifth spot is the one that, you know, is going to go between either the Wicks, Assad, you know, Wisniewski or Smiley. And also people have talked about maybe even a six man rotation. And even that would be interesting because of the fact that Imanaga is not used to the five-man rotation. I think if they started off like that, I wouldn't be surprised either. But overall, shifting over to like just spring training in general, what have been your thoughts, you know, up to this point, like, you know, a couple weeks in? You know, we have Owen Casey, who's raking out there. We have, you know, PCA, who's been hitting well. Matt Shaw is hitting well. Like, these guys look like they want to be on the roster opening day. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's been awesome to see and see Imanaga as well, and all that. But what have you been your feelings overall, your first impressions of spring training?
Yeah, you know what? It's been a pleasure to watch Matt Shaw specifically during the spring training tenure. It's been really cool to see like these young players really come into their own. You know, and part of me is also still rooting for Matt Mervis, because I think the Cubs may have sort of jumped ship on him a little bit at this point. Clearly, they're not really prioritizing his development for the most part, which was very quick Yeah. A very quick turnaround from a very anticipated debut last year, which is unfortunate, but it's cool. It's cool seeing a lot of these stories take place. And then Brennan Davis, another guy who's been looking really good and very healthy this spring. I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying the young vibes that we're having, and this young talent that we're having. And I know we're gonna touch on Morrell, but it's I really respect Craig Council for giving him a shot over there after and allowing him to make errors. And even during today's game, a little bit of a rough time at third, but that first of all, third base ain't easy. It ain't easy. It's the hot corner. So, you know, I think that's always great to show that confidence in your players and give them room to allow them the time to grow and give them that room to really, you know, be comfortable with themselves and develop their relationships. So hats off to Craig Council for that.
Yeah, no, and you know, you definitely brought it up, and I was gonna bring it up as well with the Christopher Morales. We're gonna talk about his defense and him playing at third base. Like, obviously, as you mentioned, if you play in third base, it's not easy. Like, what do you think is one of the hardest things? Like, when did you start playing first base? Has it been your whole like baseball career? Has it been like, you know, in the last 5 years, or when did you first start playing third base?
I started playing third probably. Yeah, I mean, I think it was during travel ball.
Okay.
At Evanston when I was 11 years old, and
okay.
I went to third because of Thomas Ramirez.
There you go. Yeah.
So I had number 16 on back. He was my idol just because how smooth and calm he was. And the older and it sets in, reality sets in with you pretty quickly at third base, especially as you get older. And when I got to high school, I wasn't at third base because of, you know, the whatever the coach felt during that time was best for the team. It is not hard. It's not easy. It's a hard position. Mm-hmm. You really got to compete for that position sometimes. And when you get that position, you always got to be ready on and off the field. You never know when someone's going to bunt the ball down the line. You never know when you're going to have to cover a steal at third. You never know when someone's going to hit an absolute laser beam at you. You got to be ready for it. You can knock it down and pray for the best.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, from no experience, I could only just seeing people play third base. I think also the fans just take that position for granted because of the guys we've seen, right? Speaking of Cub fans, as you mentioned with Aramis Ramirez, dude, just like he like was so chill about it. I just remember, you know, the way he would just like, it looked like he just lofted it over there, and it was on target every time.
The reason why I was sidearming the ball and getting yelled at by my coach.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So,
just like Abraham.
So that's exactly. And not only that, but just seeing guys as well, like Nolan Arenado was like, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. And I mean, with his defense is just insane. So seeing guys like that, I think some people take it for granted. And then seeing guys like, you know, Christopher Morel, who are getting used to the position, you know, some people might be like giving him crap for it, but it's like, dude, like, you know, it's not an easy position. Not only that, but it's also, other thing is like, if you're going to work out the Kings, you might as well work out the Kings in spring training. So I'm glad they put him out there, and I'm glad they're putting him out there frequently for him to get used to that. And we know it's not going to be easy. It's never going to be easy when a player transitions to a position. But I think another thing too, that people, you know, don't think about is the fact that, obviously, knock on wood, we hope it all works out. But if it doesn't, the DH spot is also there. Cause I think some people are like, oh man, like I've seen some people talk about, I want Christopher Morel in the lineup, but you know, if he can't play defense, you know, he might have to be on the bench. And it's like, no, it's not. I don't think it's, you know, to the point where he's not going to be in the lineup. He's got to be in the lineup. And I think Craig Council is pretty, you know, stern about that. Like, he's got to get more at bats. So I definitely don't see it being a giant issue. And so we'll see how he, you know, we'll see in a few weeks. I think also a lot of the takes that people are having now is a little bit premature. So like, you know, being a couple of weeks into spring training, you know, we'll see where things go, but I'm optimistic as to what he's doing. But other than that, like, you know, for as yourself being a baseball player, what's the one thing I think that like, what's the one thing that is kind of hard to get back into the groove of things? Is it the hitting? Is it the defense? Or is it all in one? Like, is it just getting the body, you know, getting used to, as you said, you're getting used to or, you know, you're getting back into the, you know, the groove for the Milwaukee heavy hitter season. Like, how is that?
It can be, you know, I think it depends on the player. It definitely depends on, you know, obviously what you do during the off season, what you're focusing on, if you're focusing on your swing more than your glove, then when you get into the season or whatever practice or spring training starts, your swing feels great, but then you may still be finding your routine a little bit with your glove. And so, you know, it really depends on the player. It depends on it depends on his preparation before you know it's go time. And I can say for me, it is usually the defense that it'll take me a little bit of time just to get back into like my defensive routine, and not in terms of like making errors, but just like finding my routine between innings and before the game, and what I like to do when it comes to playing catch. How's my arm feeling? Is my elbow sore? Is my shoulder sore? It's you know, there's so much that goes into it, and so for me, it's definitely the defense for sure. But I know for some other players, it can be different.
Yeah, and I think also another thing too that I think people don't realize that the third base and the defense also is how hard the ball is hit to third base, right? Compared to other positions, as to like when you look at it, just from an outsider looking in, I mean, you could just tell it's on fire when it. I mean, that's why they call it a hot corner. Obviously, is because of how hard the ball gets hit down there. So that I can only imagine what that's like. But another thing too that's happened in recent days, the Cubs made a trade. With the White Sox as well. They traded Bailey Horn for Matt Thompson. That was just a little trade, but I thought it was interesting because I know Bailey Horn is a left-handed pitcher that, you know, was maybe could have been a candidate in the bullpen or maybe a candidate in the rotation. And he's traded away to the White Sox. So that is something, is one of those deals that we're probably going to have to wait a little longer for it to, you know, for it to unwind to kind of get more on it. Cause I feel like it could probably be an even deal when it comes out to it. So we'll see what happens there. From the White Sox side of things, I mean, obviously this is a team that is kind of headed into a rebuild again, unfortunately for these guys. And, you know, they have, you know, trotted out these young players in spring training that still makes it very exciting. A guy like Colson Montgomery even, you know, games where they're playing Ohtani and, you know, got Garrett Crochet striking out Ohtani on a 100-mile-per-hour fastball. And then Ohtani follows that up by hitting a home run off Jesse Chavez. But what has been your overall thoughts on the White Sox camp? I mean, this is a team, like I said, is in a transition mode, and you know, they still have great talents like Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert, Dylan Cease is still on the team. Whether that's surprising to some people or not, how do you feel about with the White Sox and how they've entered spring training?
Yeah, I think the White Sox know who they are right now, and you can see that there is development going on and kind of experiments taking place. Obviously, Luis Robert is going to be the leading catalyst of his team going forward for the foreseeable future. But I do like seeing a lot of these young pitchers get opportunities. And I think I'm watching a highlight of Eloy right now in a home run earlier today. And so it's just I think there's so much still for Sox fans to look forward to. And right now, if I'm a Sox fan, I'm watching these spring training games and kind of trying to figure out what am I going to be looking forward to down the line. And so, you know, I haven't been able to watch the Sox as much as I've been able to watch the Cubs, specifically because they have Marquee. But I do believe in these players. I do believe in the development of the Southsiders. And so, you know, time will tell. Sox fans got to be real patient with their boys for the next at least 2 years, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, you know, there's been a couple bright spots in that sense. And just seeing, you mentioned it with Eloy Jimenez hitting that home run today. Also, it's been good to see Nicky Lopez, you know, having a great spring training, just because of the sense of, you know, you don't want to get carried away with any performances in spring training. But at the same time, with the guy who's trying to win a job at second base, you know, the White Sox still have options there. You know, we got Paul DeJong at shortstop. Danny Mendick is still on the roster. You know, so it's like you don't know where guys are going to fit in. But a guy like Nicky Lopez with his defense, his speed, I think could be a very key part to the White Sox in 2024. And I think, as you said, they know who they are. They're definitely giving as many guys out there possible an opportunity to make the team. I think guys like Davey Garcia, is very fascinating thing to see for the pitching side of things. And a guy like Tim Hill as well, you know, they definitely have options. I think that's the one thing, is like, they're going to give guys opportunities. And I think that's when you're and we know this as Cub fans, as many teams that we've seen rebuild and be, you know, one of the, you know, worst teams in baseball at times, you get the guys get opportunities. I mean, we saw Frank Schwindel, you know, that we don't have
yeah.
Schwindel magic without the Cubs yeah, not playing well. Yeah. yeah. So it's one of those things where you got to take the positive with the negative there. And I think White Sox are doing it. I think also with John Schifrin at the mic, it's been cool to see as well. I'm very excited to see what he will do for the White Sox in the play-by-play booth. Another thing I wanted to ask you as well, with the rest of the league, we talked about Montgomery, Snell, Scott Boras. Another thing I mentioned too was Matt Chapman signing with the Giants. What have you thought about Matt Chapman and that deal with the Giants? Because of course, Matt Chapman, we talked about a lot this offseason with the Cubs and how he would be a good addition to it to the team, and he would have. I mean, I think his defense would have been elite, that made it the infield pretty spotless. But what did you think about him going with the Giants? Because they finally got, you know, their big free agent, and I mean they've gotten some other players as well over the offseason, but this is probably one of their big chips. But what did you think about him going to the Giants?
I like it. I like it a lot. And he's such an elite defender that the potential of his bat sort of catching up with his defense is very scary. Mm-hmm. It's another one of those things, like, you never know when, like, a change of scenery, what that can do for a guy. And even when I look at his numbers from last year, there's obviously a lot left to be desired with that. But at the same time, they're not the worst numbers I've seen from third base, but obviously it's a very competitive position. There's a lot of great hitting third base in MLB, which is an understatement, but I like it. I kind of like this new looking Giants club. I think he fits in there very well. So I'm very enticed to see how that team kind of shapes out going forward now how their division has taken shape, with the Padres kind of dropping off a little bit, kind of being like, all right, well, we got all this talent, we can't afford it, we don't know how to win. And so I like this. I like this addition for the Giants, along with Jorge Soler. And so I think that this is a team that they have a potential to be kind of a sleeper team.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think we've seen how good they can be. A couple years ago when they had, for example, when they got Chris Bryant. They've always kind of wanted to just add a couple of stars, and it's been rough, to been able to attract players and all that stuff. But it's good to see that they've got somebody now, and regardless of the opt-outs, I mean, there's still other guys, but, you know, 2025 is going to be a big free agency class as well with Pete Alonso and all that. So wherever, you know, the direction the Giants go, I still think it's only up from here. Especially with how things have gone, they're definitely in a positive realm of things. Another thing too, and I mentioned it as well with the Scott Boras and all that. You know, there's a possibility. Of course, people have mentioned Jordan Montgomery with the Red Sox as well, because Lucas Giolito is out for the season. Where do you think, when you look at the landscape of baseball and the pitching needs for other teams, where do you see a Montgomery or a Snell landing? Because there's been so many rumors. I mean, Snell was basically a Yankee like a couple weeks ago, and like people were saying all this stuff about, he's gonna go there, blah, blah. And so is there any particular spot you see these guys going? Is it the Cubs? Could it be, do you see it being the most likely position for like a Montgomery, or is it one of those things where it's going to have to be a mystery team? Because that could be too. I mean, like, I never considered the Giants, as much as I should have probably considered the Giants with Matt Chapman. Because I mean, when it comes to Matt Chapman, he knows the area, he knows San Fran, Oakland, that area. So I never looked into that. But is there any team in particular that you see kind of jumping out of nowhere and kind of, you know, going, getting into the Montgomery and Blake Snell sweepstakes within the next couple weeks?
I got a healthy eye on the Cardinals right now, especially with Sonny Gray going down. I think that would be a pretty interesting move with a team like the Cardinals who are on this weird, they're like kind of on the cusp of success. It's interesting. So first and foremost, these guys should not be free agents still. This is ridiculous, in my opinion. This is absolutely ridiculous. We're really letting money get in the way of just playing ball. These guys make so much money, it doesn't matter after a certain amount of time. It's just ego. But you know what? I do see the Cardinals kind of being a sleeper team, especially with how deep the Cubs are again this year, and the Cardinals not really changing too much about their ball club and not adding a whole ton coming into 2024. I can see them sort of shaking up the division by bringing in at least one of those guys. So I think that would be pretty interesting for the NL Central. As we alluded to last year, this division is going to get very, very competitive, and we're already starting to see it. A lot of these teams are on a very similar plane, which is cool. So it's not really like the AL Central where we have some other teams that are kind of is a lot to be improved on. But you know, I think we could see something pretty interesting with the Cardinals going forward, and maybe not, you know. But I think that'd be pretty cool to see the Cardinals bring in one of these guys.
Yeah, you're right, man. I mean, they definitely have, from the pitching side of things, they definitely leave a lot to be desired. Even with including a guy like Gray, including a guy with Gibson, yeah, you can mention that with a lot of the NL Central teams, it's still kind of missing something. You can mention any team, but yeah, you're right. With them, especially Montgomery, obviously being has already played with the Cardinals. I'm sure he wouldn't mind going back there. That's kind of one of the reasons I think I've heard his name with that team. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense. I won't lie. Unfortunately, I hope it doesn't, or I would say it would be very unfortunate if it does happen for Cubs fans, of course. But that is something definitely I could see happening as well with Blake Snell. But Blake Snell, I think if I had to choose somewhere that he's gonna go is I do believe the Yankee murmurs. The only reason why I believe those is because of the amount of money. They didn't want to pull the trigger, even though they did offer Yamamoto, they did offer him 300 mil. I think it fits what they're doing. I think it fits their rotation. But just like imagine, dude, if they were to get Blake Snell, how good that rotation would be with Cole and Rodon, even Stroman. Of course, they added Stroman this offseason, and it would be disgusting. So that's how it goes. But I think that just about does it. I think for this edition of the At Bat Podcast, we'll be back with more of the spring training updates, all that stuff. And of course, hopefully our guys like Chris Pennant and Gabe Wilkins will join us soon enough. And we're getting closer to opening day, so we'll definitely start previewing the division soon. And as well, give our predictions as well too. So we're basically a month away from the season. So I want to thank my co-host Miles Porter for joining me on this edition of the At Bat Podcast. I am Saul Rodriguez. Hopefully everyone enjoys their week.